Well, hello, and thank you for joining us for our online worship gathering today. I'm excited to get to share from God's word with you in just a few minutes. But let me first start by saying thank you to all of you who attended one of our four Christmas Eve services. We had such a great time celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also want to say thank you to so many of you who have expressed to me your excitement about these six new ministry initiatives we're going to be launching in the new year. I'm excited to see all that God's going to do. And just as a reminder, if you want to give and have your gift go towards your 2025 charitable giving, make sure that you give online between now and end of the year so that that can happen. Let me tell you where we're going to go today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The title of our message is How to Be a Peacemaker. And by the time we're done today, I'm going to give you three choices that if you make moving towards this new year and in the new year, I believe that you too can be a peacemaker. We talk a lot about peace during the Christmas season, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But a lot of us forget that being a peacemaker is actually part of what it means, part of the calling that's placed on our lives as Christians. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5 in just a second. But before we get to that, let me give you a foundational verse that I really think will get us started today. It's from the book of Romans. Paul wrote Romans. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So same author, but this is a helpful verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So we'll keep this verse up here for a second. We'll talk about it for a minute because I like the two clarifiers. See, if the verse just said, live at peace with everyone, we would all agree that's not very practical. It's going to be impossible for us to actually follow that verse. But there's a couple of clarifiers. First one, if it is possible. So let me just say this up top. There are some people in your life, it is impossible for you to live at peace with them. I think sometimes we just need to say that out loud. Now, that's because of choices they've made. You may want to be at peace with this person, but one of the things we're going to see today is it always takes two people, two parties being on the same page in order for peace to happen. And on a more sober note, for some of you, there may be people in your life that quite simply, it would put you in harm's way to try to be at peace with that person. So sometimes it's not possible for us to be at peace with another person. Now, that doesn't mean we carry bitterness. That doesn't mean we harbor a grudge. That certainly doesn't mean that we don't forgive them. But establishing peace and reconciliation quite simply may not be possible. God's word tells us that. The second clarifier is this, as far as it depends on you. And that's really what I would like for us to focus on today. Let's not worry about the other person. Let's not worry about the other party. Let's just talk about ourselves. Let's commit ourselves that we won't be the reason that peace can't happen. It won't be because of something that we do or an attitude we have or a choice that we're not willing to make. So as far as it depends on us, God's word commands us to live at peace with everyone. Now, why is this so difficult? It's difficult because conflict exists. So I want to talk about conflict for a moment because I think we need to all get on the same page with what conflict is. So I'm going to walk through three possibilities of what conflict can be. And I'll tell you up top, the first two I don't believe are the correct way to look at conflict. And the last way, the last reason, the third way I believe is how we should look at conflict. So the first way conflict, I believe we possibly should not look at it, is it can sometimes just simply be looked at as a situation to be avoided. And maybe you don't like conflict. Maybe you do everything you can in your life to avoid conflict. You see it as a situation to be avoided. Now listen, if you like conflict, if you seek it out, you should probably unpack that with someone, right? So I'm not saying that we should, you know, desire conflict. But sometimes, especially in Christian circles, conflict can get a bad rap. In fact, some Christians believe that if conflict is present, someone must be sinning. That's not always the case. And I would encourage you not to see conflict just as a situation to be avoided. Conflict could also be, second way we could look at it, it could just be a problem to be solved. So conflict's either a situation to be avoided or a problem to be solved. So what's the problem with seeing conflict as a problem to be solved? Well, the problem with that is you ignore the people that are involved. Anytime people are involved, you can't just see something as a problem because it can be very disingenuous to the people who are actually involved in it. And I don't know if this has happened in your life, But there have been many times in my life where I've sat down with a couple people and there's a conflict present. And at the end of the discussion, rather than seeing one person is right and the other is wrong, oftentimes what happens is I think they're both right or I think they're both wrong. So if it's just a problem to solve, we don't factor in the people. So the third way, I think the way we should look at conflict, is it's actually an opportunity. Conflict is an opportunity for God to be glorified. That's what our passage is going to show us today. That when conflict is present in our lives, it's actually an opportunity for God to be glorified. You say, how does that happen? Well, it happens when we make good choices for how we actually go about handling the conflict. We do so in a way through God's strength that ultimately brings glory to his name. So let's look at this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's kind of long, so hang with me. Verses 17 through 21, and then we're going to unpack it, kind of working our way back through it. One verse at a time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So thanks for hanging with me as I kind of read through that longer passage. So let's go back now and let's look at these three choices. We'll work our way back through it, hopefully get practical on how we can be peacemakers. First choice I want to challenge you to make today. A peacemaker chooses to respond to conflict by focusing on who Jesus is in me rather than what has happened to me. And you'll notice that the point there is worded by saying a peacemaker chooses. Make no mistake, being a peacemaker is always an intentional choice. It won't just happen. You're not just going to wander your way into becoming a peacemaker. It's not just going to happen through osmosis. It's intentional, and it's a choice that you have to make. So how do I start off by making that choice? Well, our first point, focus on who Jesus is in me rather than what has happened to me. So let's go back and revisit this because it really is the gospel implication verse in this passage for this point of being a peacemaker. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We just read it, but let's revisit it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Praise God. This is the good news of the gospel message. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. Now, once you're a new creation, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Your identity is in Christ. And what I'm simply saying is you have a choice to make when conflict comes into your life. Even though you're a new creation, your old sin nature is still present. It's the struggle all of us have until we are with Jesus physically in heaven for all of eternity. So here's how this works. If I'm a new creation, I've got this old sin nature. You're a new creation, you've got your old sin nature. Let's just use me for example. It'll be more fun for you. But when conflict comes into my life, think of it this way. It's going to trigger something inside of me. And what I've discovered is that conflict will either trigger something in my new nature, who I am in Christ, or it might trigger something from my old sin nature. And I have a choice to make. See, conflict can be determined more so by who I am in Christ, or it can be determined by what's happened to me. And my old sin nature is gonna always focus on what's happened to me. It's gonna always want to lash back out. Maybe I get hurt, maybe I get offended, maybe I get upset, maybe I get angry. That's coming from my old sin nature. But see, it doesn't have to be that way. I have to choose, am I gonna focus more on who Christ is in me, or am I gonna let my old sin nature dictate my response? You say, well, how do you go about doing that? Again, I'll just share from my own experience what's happened in my life. I have discovered that what happens in my life is the response that someone else will experience will be directly correlated to the one I've been feeding the most. This is why spending time in God's word matters. This is why worship matters, prayer matters. It matters for a number of reasons, but when it comes specifically to this, if I've been filling my heart with the things of God, it's more likely that my response will come from who I am in Christ. if I've been ignoring those disciplines, if I haven't been spending time in God's word, if my old sin nature is getting fed by the things I listen to, or maybe something that I watch, a show maybe, all of these things matter when it comes to what we feed our minds. Well, all of a sudden, isn't it interesting then that that's what someone experiences? It triggers a response from the flesh. So be mindful of what you allow into your mind. Be mindful of what you allow into your heart. And then don't forget that when conflict happens, you get to determine whether you'll respond from who you are in Christ or let your old nature drive your response. I mean, a second choice I want to challenge you to make today. A peacemaker, again, it's a choice, chooses to respond to conflict by acknowledging that how I handle conflict should draw people towards God. So here's the challenging part of this passage today. That's exactly what it says. This is one of the distinguishing marks of a Christ follower, that in your workplace, at your school, in your neighborhood, people should notice you handle conflict differently. So let's go back to our passage and see the instructions it gives us when it comes to this. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that interesting that God's given us this ministry? The passage continues. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are then therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The ministry of reconciliation is one of the things God has called you to. God makes his appeal to those who are far from Christ through you. And one of the ways God will make his appeal to those who are far from Christ is when those who are far from Christ observe how you handle conflict in your life. Christians should be known for handling conflict differently. We should be known for bringing about peace differently. So let me give you a practical way to approach that. I don't want to just tell you what to do and then not give you some practical handles on how to go about doing this. I'm just going to walk you through a little process. If you've got any type of conflict with someone in your life, you would like to seek peace, resolution, reconciliation. This isn't gospel. This isn't thorough. This isn't like all of the possible steps you could take, but I think it's a helpful guide that I use. I would encourage you to put this into practice and see if it might help you become a better peacemaker. All right, so here's the first thing I want you to do. Ask God where I'm wrong. I don't want to start there. I don't like starting there either. But here's what I've learned. Anytime conflict is happening, before I need to focus truly on what the other person has done, I need to acknowledge I've probably contributed to this as well. Now, just for a moment, let me give you a sobering truth about my prayer life. Every time I have asked God to show me where I'm wrong, he's answered that prayer every single time. In fact, if you want God to answer more of your prayers, start praying this prayer. He'll answer it every single time, all right? But when I go to God and say, God, search my heart. Show me where I'm wrong. He's faithful to show me. It might be my motives. It might be my heart. It may not necessarily be what I said. It might be how I said it. And can I tell you what the Lord has shown me time and time again? I've had some brothers in Christ point this out to me over the years, also being helpful. My intentions are irrelevant, and so are yours. That's oftentimes our first defense mechanism. When we've offended someone and they point that out, we defend ourselves by saying, well, I didn't intend for that to happen at all. I didn't intend for it to come out that way. And here's what I've had to learn. Intentions are irrelevant. If somebody feels that way, if someone's hurt, that's reality. That's what we need to deal with. I need to learn from that so that next time, maybe I'm more mindful before I speak up, or more mindful of that tone. But start out by asking God, God, where am I wrong? Let me do the next step. I think it's helpful in resolving conflict. Plan a time for the discussion. Don't just catch somebody off guard. Don't be haphazard about this. Be intentional. Reach out to the person. Hey, I'd like for us to sit down and talk about this. And so they know the conversation that they're getting into. And then plan it at a good time of the day. Like if you know after 6 p.m. you're really tired and you can kind of be cranky, for Pete's sake, don't do a conversation like this after 6 p.m., okay? If you know that you get hangry about the middle of the afternoon, don't try to resolve conflict in the middle of the afternoon, right? So you need to be intentional about when you're going to do this, where you can bring your best energy, where you can be rested and they can be rested. And now we know this is why we're getting together. We're going to have this discussion. Let me give you the next step to follow. Affirm the relationship. Before you ever start discussing the problem, make sure you tell the other person that you care about them. You say, before we even talk about what has led us to this point, I want you to know that I care about you and I care about our relationship and I care about us. And if you'll let that person know that you care about them, it's going to go a long way towards resolving the conflict. Next, moving through this process, define the problem and stick to the issue. So we are here today to talk about this. We're not gonna chase rabbits. We're not gonna solve, you know, all of the rest of the world's problems. We're not gonna bring up things from the past. We are simply going to talk about this. Do you agree this is what we're talking about? Is there anything you wanna add to that so that you're both on the same page and you're able to move through the conversation staying united, right? Next thing to do then is word things in a way where you're able to point out the conflict without attacking the other person. So I have found this to be a very helpful statement. When you do whatever it is the person has done, it makes me feel like, and then point out your emotion. Now, why is this helpful? Because you're not attacking them. You're not sitting down and say, you always do this, or you never do that. You're pointing out a behavior, you're pointing out an action. And then here's the second piece that's equally as important. You're owning your own feelings. You're owning your own emotions. So you point out the behavior. I'm not attacking you as a person. I'm simply pointing out when you do this, it makes me feel a particular way. I have found this to be helpful when trying to get to the root of the issue of what's caused the conflict, okay? Next step that you take then is you listen carefully. You listen carefully. So the way this would work, if I was talking with someone, I'd point out, hey, when you did this, you know, I felt whether the intentions were there or not, here's what I felt, you know, so, and then they start talking. Now, I've got to listen. And I'll be honest, I am not a good listener. Okay, this is something I've had to work on. It's something I have to take before the Lord. It's not a strength of mine. And the reason it's not a strength of mine is because intuitively and just by default, what I do, I hope I'm not alone in this. I'm confessing all of my sins to y'all. I hope I'm not alone in this. But what I can be prone to do while someone else is talking, instead of listening, I'm formulating my response in my mind. That's not listening. Listening is when you are hearing what the person is saying. You're not planning on how you're going to respond. Listening is also when you hear the emotion that they are communicating with. And men, we're not as good at this, okay? So let me challenge you, men. When your wife's talking, listen to the emotion she's speaking with. When your children are talking, don't just listen to the words they're saying. Hear the emotion and then verbalize that. It sounds like you're frustrated. It sounds like you're upset. They will feel heard when you're able to tell them the emotion. You're not going to be able to do that unless you're listening carefully. And then the last step in this entire process, apologize and forgive. Hopefully, in the point of the conversation, you've realized there were some things that you did. There were some things you contributed. And it's really helpful to look at someone and say, listen, I want to apologize. I never intended for that to make you feel that way, but I need to own that with you, and I want to apologize to you right now. And I want you to know that you're forgiven. I've forgiven you for the part that you've contributed to this. And this is just a really helpful guide to move you through a conversation. Is it always gonna work out perfectly? Of course not. Or does everything get resolved in one conversation? Not usually. But again, if you've committed to being a peacemaker as part of your walk with the Lord, I think this can be a really helpful guide when you face conflict with another brother or sister in Christ, all right? So let's kind of wrap up by our third choice. Again, three choices. They're gonna help you become more of a peacemaker in this new year. A peacemaker chooses to respond to conflict by focusing on the cross rather than the sin. Focusing on the cross rather than the sin. At the end of the day, this is really all this comes down to. Conflict happens because someone has sinned, and we live in a fallen world, and now we have a choice to make. How are we gonna respond? We have a choice to make. Are we gonna do it differently than the world? We have a choice to make. What are we gonna choose to focus our heart on? The cross or the sin that's been committed? So let's go back to our passage, because I think that this is the part where Paul really kind of wraps it all up and helps us see the importance of this. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now look at this gospel point. Remarkable. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, there were a whole lot of things that were happening in that moment. The biggest of which was all sin for all time was being paid for. You see, Jesus lived the life you and I could never live, a life of perfection. He then paid the price for sin we could never pay by sacrificing his life. And when he did so, he's covered all sin. So let's talk about that for a second. You may be joining us today and you are presently walking through some type of conflict in your life, and that conflict is a result of a sin that you committed, and you know that. And it's not that the other person is perfect, but you contributed mostly to this, and you're carrying around the weight of that guilt, the weight of that shame. And here's what I would encourage you with today: the cross is enough. And you got to get to a place in your life where you recognize Jesus offers you forgiveness. He's paid the price for that sin. It's time to accept that forgiveness. And then here's the key. It's time for you to forgive yourself as well. That carrying around that shame and carrying around that guilt in many ways, whether you intend to or not, is telling Jesus your death on the cross was not enough. Jesus has paid the price for that sin. You do not have to carry the weight of that guilt, the weight of that shame. He died on the cross so you could walk in freedom. So forgive yourself and walk in the freedom that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Now maybe you're joining us today and it's the exact opposite, that the conflict that exists in your life is because of what someone did to you. Now, you're not perfect. You probably contributed in some ways, but the major actions that were taken by someone else. And it's left you in a place where it feels like you're the one dealing with the fallout. They've moved on with their life. They're not even really bothered by what's happened. And you're not really sure what to do with that. And let me encourage you for a moment. The cross of Jesus Christ covers not only the sins that you've committed, it also covers the sins that have been committed against you. And if you continue to carry that weight, harbor that grudge, not offer forgiveness. In some ways, what you're saying to Jesus is your death on the cross wasn't enough. You see, whether you've committed the sin that created the conflict or whether the sin was committed by someone else that's created the conflict, you still have a choice. You can choose whether or not you want to focus on that sin or you want to focus on the cross. And praise God that the ground is even at the foot of the cross, that all of us at the end of the day are sinners in need of a Savior. And in this way, conflict can be a great opportunity pointing us back to our need for a Savior, pointing us back to the reminder of God's in our life and the strength that He offers to each one of us. In fact, maybe as you've been listening today, you realize the reason why I'm not at peace with others is because I've never established peace with God. And one of the things this passage teaches us is that can only happen through Jesus Christ, that God offered His Son Jesus Christ so that you could first be reconciled back to Him and then called to this ministry of reconciliation with others. So I don't know where you are today. Maybe you need to take the step to ask Jesus to come into your life to be your personal Lord and Savior, establishing peace with God. Or maybe as a Christ follower, you recognize the importance of being at peace with others. So if there's someone in your life right now that you're at odds with, you're not at peace, I want to challenge you to pray. I want to ask God, hey God, as I wrap up this year and as I move into the next year, would you guide my steps and give me the opportunity to reach out to this person and establish peace with that individual? Because I see from your word how much it matters. Would you join me as we pray together? And so God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Even when it challenges us, God, we say thank you. God, we thank you that you've called us to this ministry of reconciliation, that it is one of the ways that we can ultimately point people to you. But God, we acknowledge we can't do this in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And so God, keep us mindful of the relationships in our life. If we're not at peace with the people around us, God, would you reveal that to our hearts? God, would you guide us in the steps that we take? And would you remind us of these choices so that we can be peacemakers in this new year? God, thank you for allowing us to be together today as a church family. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.